Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
I see. Okay.
But I can tell you're not as sold on Jane Eyre as I am.
Well, to me, I'll be brutally honest right now. The reason I'm not as sold on Jane Eyre is because I feel like how do I say this? I feel like we've kind of one year we had Wuthering Heights and Pride and Prejudice. Do you remember? And I feel like that was yesterday, and I know it wasn't. It was like the first year, or the second year or something. But I mean, I feel like that's just so familiar, you know? Does that make sense? Is that weird?
You're saying it's too popular?
No, it's like we just did something like, you know, we just did a Bronte, you know, esque.
I mean, yeah, I don't think that Jane Eyre and Jane Austen are similar. But
No, I don't either.
The Brontes are similar.
Yeah, I just feel like, that. but I think it's a really, this is just part of my own personal prejudice, I'm sure, is that I like Wuthering Heights better than Jane Eyre. I mean, those are definitely the two best Bronte books. I've read all of them. You know, and those
would you
are,
give it to me because it's the only book I've nominated this year?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's what I was about to say. I think it should be our third book because, you know, I pretty much created this list because I had more time on my hands than you did, and months and months and months ago. And I'm perfectly fine with doing Jane Eyre as one of them. That just leaves me in the terrible position of trying to decide between Dracula and Portrait of Jenny.
Right.
But I would hope. Okay, so formally and officially, Jane Eyre is number three, or not in a ranked order, but just in a chosen done deal order. And then so now we're left with Portrait of Jenny and Dracula, and gosh, you know, I'm not going to hate either one of those, so
I would be open to either. I'm more familiar with Dracula, but I liked what you've told me of Portrait of Jenny. Again, I don't remember it, and I like the passages you've read.
I honestly don't know how many people in the world have even ever heard of it, let alone read it. I mean, it's not, I mean, it was popular when it came out. It was kind of like, it's kind of like a cult classic kind of a thing in a way. It had a popular following, but it's not taught, as you know, it's not taught in high school, it's not taught in most literature classes. You find this book, you run across it accidentally. This isn't something that you know, I think is studied, you know, in literature classes. It may be referenced in literature classes every once in a while, at a certain level of literature class, but I don't know that in the popular consciousness it's going to speak to very many people. I would love to use it so that people would be introduced to it. Mm-hmm. One of the good things about it is it's a very short book. You could read the whole book pretty quickly. It's not long. Dracula is a very long book, but you know, we always go with a selected passage as our starting point for people. They don't have to read the whole book. So I try not to think, you know, it's like when we picked The Brothers Karamazov. That's a long book. You know, we picked a passage that stood alone, you know. So I try not to think, oh, this is a long book, we shouldn't pick it. Or, oh, this is a shorter book, we should pick it. But, you know, for people who do want to revisit the entire tome, as it were, one of these is way shorter than the other. So, and just equally as rich in material. So it's hard for me to choose between the two because I love them both. I think we would probably, I think Dracula complements Jane Eyre a little better because, yeah, well, one published in 1847, one published in 1897. They're both considered gothic stories. They're both, you know, fiction. They both, you know, I mean, I think they kind of complement each other more naturally. Does that make sense?
It does. I think Dracula, too, it appeals to both men and women probably equally.
I will be very interested to see how many men submit something based on Jane Eyre and Little Women. I think that would be funny.
Spike will submit something on Little Women.
That's good. We got one coming. But I think I'm good with either Portrait of Jenny or Dracula. In some ways, I think Portrait of Jenny is the better choice because of the philosophical bent to it, and the way that it's written. There are very accessible short passages that would give us a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. Dracula, as you can see from my notes, I was very tempted to say, oh, okay, here's a nice little short passage, but here's the longer quote, or here's the medium longer quote, and then here's the really longer quote, you know. So I was already looking at workshop material, going deeper in, you know, which I would certainly be able to do with Portrait of Jenny, but Dracula, just because I don't want to say I could quote the book word for word, but I could certainly quote passages of it without reading. So I'm fine with either one.
I'm fine with either one too. That doesn't help you, does it?
Well, I think part of our job is to go beyond our personal feelings and look at how if we have a potential book that is somehow more accessible to the public, it behooves us to pay attention to that. And I think Dracula does that simply because of, you know, its popularity from the get-go as, you know, this gothic vampire story, the first one, whatever, and all the film, TV, books, comics, graphic novels. I mean, it is just so many vampire-esque things in popular conscious in pop culture stem from this book, and yet people all know the name Dracula. They may not have read the book, but they know there was that book. They know there was that movie with Bela Lugosi. They know the history. They can delve deeper into it with our project if they want to. You know, whether it's the book or in movies or whatever, we can help guide that with workshops and everything, and people can do it on their own. So, I mean, I think that's probably the most appropriate choice for this year as our fourth book. But I'm not the final say. I'm asking. I'm suggesting that we look at that part of it.
Right. I think that Dracula as a book as a whole is stronger.
Yeah.
For the reasons that you said. Yeah. As I'm looking at the quotes, I really think Portrait of Jenny has prettier quotes.
I do too. There's I love that, you know, you spoke earlier about how we do an underrepresented, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I know Robert Nathan is a man, he's white, whatever, but this is an underrepresented story. It's an underrepresented novel. I think we could introduce a lot of people to it, and the beauty of that, the way it's written, and the evocative nature of some of the passages that we've got on our list as potential passages speak to all kinds of artists. And I do feel like that's true of Dracula too. I just kind of worry about missing the boat on connecting with younger audiences with the Dracula because of the new Netflix show and the popularity of, you know, I mean, I'm 50, well, how old am I? 50 something. I don't even know how old I am anymore. But you know, my Dracula was, you know, Bela Lugosi, and then when I was young, the Interview with the Vampires, Anne Rice stuff came out. Since then you got the whole, what was the Twilight, and, you know,
Twilight.
And the Suki, what's the TV show, the, you know, oh gosh, the, you know, the vampire, there, I can't remember now, it's in Suki.
But they've had Vampire Diaries, they've had vampire musicals.
I mean, I think Dracula is going to connect with more generations, more ages, more everything. That just keeps the back of my mind, I keep saying part of our job is to tap into generations and younger people and different,
sure,
you know, different collaborations. Okay, so if our original collaboration is the book by Bram Stoker, if we chose that, people could use within their creative inspirations a lot of material that has come more recently in our lifetimes. You know, a
That's
lot
true.
Of derivative. That's the word I've been looking for, derivative material.
Mm-hmm.
With Portrait of Jenny, it's simply the beauty of the passages as written.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Because, you know, although there are derivative stories, but this was 1940. This wasn't the first lost through the mist of time to find my true love person. This is a derivative of that kind of write, that kind of story. So, again, I'm torn between looking at it, you know, if I were not me and I was reading the announcement of nice, you know, passages selected this year, I would be like, Portrait of Jenny, huh? That's a beautiful passage, but I don't know what that's on. Dracula, I'd be like, oh, Dracula, what is it? You know, I mean, as a person in the world, Dracula is more familiar, more accessible, and I feel like that maybe we should work with that.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think that as far as appealing to young folks, the young folks are very familiar with Little Women because the movie just came out.
Right.
So we have something for them.
That's
but
true.
I think you are right about they'll relate to Dracula more. Because I love this idea of this kind of pandemic isolation theme we can delve into this year particularly, which of those two books is stronger in that theme?
Portrait of Jenny.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's he's so isolated already. And then this like crazy secret he has that there's this little girl who's growing up, you know, in weird time that is supposed to be his one true love. He can't tell people about it, you know. All he can do is paint her portrait, you know. He can't, because people wouldn't understand. They would think he was either crazy or he was a pedophile, you know. I mean, at some point in the story, there's like, what? You know, he can't tell people about this. His isolation becomes so internal, and yet the way he talks in the book, the way the character develops, goes into these universals that is very fascinating. But at the same time, you know, Jonathan Harker's crazy in his mind. He's isolated in Dracula's castle, you know,
uh-huh.
with an invisible threat, you know, because he doesn't even know that there are the female vampires are after him too, you know.
Right. And as I think about the derivatives of Dracula, a lot of the derivatives have to do with isolation.
Yes.
It's dependent on the derivatives of the derivation.
Well, and even think about Renfield, who was, you know, locked up in the psych ward, you know. I mean, you know, he's the bug eating minion of Dracula, and he's literally a mental patient locked up in a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about isolated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
oh, I don't know.
I think we gotta just bite the bullet and say Dracula, and we will save Portrait of Jenny. Or do something special in a workshop. We could bring that in with a Dracula workshop or something. I don't know what we could do. I'm so torn. But we could keep talking forever about this.
We could. I think we have our four winners. And
right.
So I think just on our next podcast, we pick the exact quotes, though.
All right. So officially, we've got Gone with the Wind, Jane Eyre, Little Women, and Dracula. Feel good?
Yep.
Are we happy?
Yep.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Portrait of Jenny. I'm so sorry, Dorian Gray. We'll come back to you another year. Yes, you know. And Emma, we'll come back to you another year. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, okay.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good list. That's going to be good conversation out of those.
Okay, awesome. Yay, we did it.
Woo!
All right. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.